Podtacular Episode 299 Part 2, Halo 4 at Comic-Con 2012, for July 17th, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm Deathwing.
And we are guestless tonight as we decide to go through some of the stuff that's happened over the past week, one of which being Comic-Con, and another of which is, wasn't necessarily an event, but we had some videos come out about the behind the scenes at Vancouver for the Ford Unto Dawn miniseries that we're going to get in October leading up to the launch of Halo 4. So this show is probably going to be short again because we want to save the show's like actual show numbers for decent content. And hopefully for the Ford Unto Dawn stuff, we can get Green Skull, Grim Brother 1, and Cruel Legacy on, as they were the guys that actually went to Vancouver and did some of the behind-the-scenes questions. So a lot of the videos that you see out there are them actually asking the questions. And then we had some stuff come out at Comic-Con. The thing specifically that we're interested in is the Halo 4 console. So those are going to be the topics we discuss tonight. So let's get on to the Ford Unto Dawn stuff first.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we got the full official trailer last week on Tuesday, right? Does that sound right? I think it was last Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a week ago-ish, yeah.
It was shortly after RTX, but...
Mm.
It looks really good. I have to say, from the standpoint of the Halo movie myth that's been going around since God knows how long now.
District 9.
Yeah, exactly. We do see some familiar faces. So the older sister from the Narnia movies,
Susan Pevensie.
Yes, she is one of the ODSTs, one of the ODSTs that's in the. Mini series would be the best way to call it.
They should have like a magical wardrobe. Come on, throw a reference in there. Yeah. Throw something. An Easter egg. They should have a They should have a what are those Turkish delight. Yeah, she can eat Turkish delight. You know, during like a mess hall or something. Yeah, like.
I think. She was one of the people that everyone recognized at first hand. And then was one of their commanding officers I also recognized.
Who was that?
I don't remember who it was.
Okay.
I have to go back and watch.
Okay.
There were a few faces that I recognized in that production, but there were a lot of new ones, including the guy that plays Master Chief.
Oh, that's cool.
So the only downside, at least from what I've seen,
are we reading out their names?
I don't have them in front of me.
Oh, I'm looking at the bulletin. They got a cool like poster, like theatrical poster. It looks awesome. And Anna Popwell is this the Narnia girl. Daniel Cudmore plays Master Chief. Tom Green plays that stupid Justin Bieber looking kid. He was like essentially the main character. Asian kid.
Asian kid. That's the best you could come up with was Asian kid.
His name is Osric Chow. I mean, what? If only Raxus was here, right? What country in Asia is that?
I don't know, dude.
See, Raxus once told me the of all the Asian ethnicities, the rankings of them from like highest quality to lowest quality. Like it's best to be a Japanese person. Then second is Chinese, third is South Korean, I forget after that. But like the worst Asian ethnicity to be, in Rax's opinion, is Filipino. It's like lowest quality one or something.
Okay.
I just thought that was
That's great to know.
You know, it's Rax's idea, not mine. Send the hate mail to him.
So yeah, there's the movie poster. I haven't seen it before, actually. Looks nice. Have to say,
yeah, it looks pretty cool. I mean, it looks like a real movie.
Yeah, well, it's almost it's pretty much a feature length film. It's 90 minutes long.
I mean, is this a step up or a step down for the Narnia girl? It's a step down as far as like money to be made, I think. because it's not, you know, an actual theatrical movie. But I think it's kind of a step up in, like, I guess how, like, cool it is in a way. Like, I don't know.
It's cool.
I mean, Narnia is cool in a different kind of cool. Like, there are two different kinds of. It's fantasy versus sci-fi. It's like children versus mature. I mean, Narnia has its own kind of cool.
Uh huh. Yeah. It's an interesting step, I guess.
I mean, is the Narnia girl just swamped with offers, and this is what she chose because she loves Halo?
Are you just going to keep it? You're just going to keep on calling her the Narnia girl, aren't you?
Yeah, or is this the best she can get at this point in her career? You know, that's the mystery.
Yeah. All right, so I looked up Daniel Cudmore's IMDb just out of curiosity, and he has been in a couple of the Twilight movies. He's been on the TV show Fringe. It looks like he was in X-Men Last Stand. Those are kind of the big
ones. I never saw either of those, but
yeah, those are the big ones that I'm pulling out of his IMDb. He was in Stargate SG-1. That's interesting.
I never saw that either.
He was a side role, but still, that's cool.
He's been
around the bush a few times.
If he was in Lost, you know, then I'd know who he was.
Lost in here.
You gotta be in Lost if you got, you know, if you want to really be around the bush, in my opinion.
I've never watched Lost, and I don't plan to.
You're saying you don't have good taste.
I heard Lost was horrible after the first season by a lot of people.
This all goes back to the false consensus effect, Dusty. When you're asking a bunch of people who have, like, similar, you know, interests and disinterests in their television, you know, taste, they're all going to say the same thing about Lost, and eventually you're going to start thinking that in fact.
I liked all three Matrix movies.
I never saw any of those. The Lost isn't like the Matrix. I mean, it wasn't all an illusion. It was all real. I mean, okay, in the season 2 finale, when the hatch is about to implode, like Desmond says, it's all real, brother. Right? Lost fans will get that.
All right. To each his own. That's what I'll say. But back to Halo. More specifically, for Dungeons & Dawn. I think they've already wrapped up production, and I think they're doing just visual effects, kind of wrapping those up. So it's around the corner. We only have essentially 3 months before it comes out. And then the game comes out a month and a half after that. So it's getting close to that time. Now, I'm not exactly sure why they chose Machinima Prime to showcase it. Like, I get Waypoint, but why Machinima Prime? I don't know.
What's Machinima Prime?
It's basically like the place where they show the nice videos that come into Machinima. Like, their popular stuff and their recurring recurring series they put on Prime.
I stopped paying attention to, like, Machinima anything after they converted Inside Halo to Inside Gaming.
Yeah.
I was like, mainstream gaming, that's so, like...
Well, they had a good following back in, like, when they first started out, where Machinima was starting to get popular, and then once they just got big, they turned into the massive conglomerate that they are, and it lost fervor. Yeah, right. It became really mainstream.
It goes from, you know, mom and pop's, you know, diner to a chain of restaurants, right?
Right. There's a certain nostalgia.
It has its ups and downs.
There's a certain nostalgia to a place that's kind of special to a small group of people, but once it gets really big, it's not that special anymore. No, you're on Machinima. Cool.
Yeah, it's like liking a local indie band, and then they become mainstream.
Right. And then the only thing you have is, I knew them before they were cool. Uh-huh. And everyone else doesn't care. So, yeah.
I mean, as far as bands, I mean right now, I really like Broken Bells. They're like an indie rock band. I mean, I like them. I mean, they got a record deal, but they're not like huge. Shout out. Go listen to their music.
All right. Daniel Cudmore is also supposed to be doing the voice of Chief. Like, it's not going to be... I would assume from a Halo fan perspective that they would have done had Steve Downes do a voiceover.
Yeah, they should just do that.
And I was listening. I was listening through a backlog of podcasts, and I was listening to the Sparkcast, and or it wasn't the Sparkcast. It was the actually it was the Forward Unto Dawn cast, the podcast that they do over there, and they were talking about the only proper way to do it is to have Master Chief voiced by Steve Downes. And I would feel the same way, because that's the iconic voice that you've heard for the past 11 years, is his voice. And now if you go and just suddenly change it, unless it's very, very similar, which I don't know if it is or not, then how's that going to feel?
Mm.
Really? So... Also, is it just me, or are a lot of the people in here just seem really young? And I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I get the fact that it's an ODST that's kind of looking up to the Chief and all, but the casting on it just seems a little off to me. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like, in my opinion, the Susan Pevensey, the Narnia girl, she looks exactly the same as she did in the first movie. It does not look like she's aged at all, in my opinion.
Doesn't really look like a Marine, either, in my opinion.
Right. Well, does anyone like define a Marine at that point?
Well, but you can always tell who has that kind of...
You think she doesn't look tough enough?
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's look back to Narnia, because we have to use Narnia as like a reference point for all of this. Like, what did she do as Susan in the battle against the Queen of the North or the Witch or whatever?
I mean, what did
she
do?
She blew a horn. Or no, was that Lucy? I don't know. There's two girls. One of them, like, no, never mind. I think Susan had a bow and arrow, right? Narnia girl, she had a bow and arrow in the Narnia movie. But then she also blew a horn that summoned Aslan and, like, saved the day or something. So what's her skill set? Shooting arrows and blowing horns. I mean,
that could be taken really out of context.
Does that translate to shooting like an assault rifle or a battle rifle?
No. And I don't mind choosing them as actors. It's just when it comes down to actually having convincing firefight scenes, I'm just really apprehensive to.
It looks like a teenage romance, not a Halo movie.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Like I have a feeling that
maybe they're trying to give like a. Like a more human element to it to offset like the Chief, who can be like kind of robotic at times. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which personal opinion, Chief was like the most human in Halo 1. You know, he cracked some dry jokes like a lot more often in Halo 1. He almost made a big mistake that screwed over the entire universe.
Yeah.
In the game, but that was like,
thank goodness Cortana was there.
Yeah, but that was part of it, him being human, like. He was more believable. He could because he was like, he was infallible. Like, he was fallible. Yeah, he was fallible.
Yeah,
he was fallible. He could make mistakes, and so it just he felt more human. I mean, he made more jokes.
Inside the universe, though, he's supposed to not be as human, though.
I don't know. I like, you know, he's best in Halo 1 as far as personality. Just like,
right. You know, that's cool. Debatable, but from the perspective of. Like, the whole training that you go through as a Marine, from some of the stuff that I saw in the behind the scenes, I wasn't really convinced. Like, it looked like some of the acting seemed a little towards the side of amateur than professional acting.
Hmm. Well, a kid, a teenager. Or...
Right, but you put them in, like, boot camp training. I don't know. The attitudes that they portray don't exactly seem like that of Marines that are getting their in the grit, getting their butts kicked from their drill sergeant. So,
they should be tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're kids, but
maybe we'll see that later. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm hoping they prove me wrong, but from first glance, I'm. A little apprehensive of it. Now, the story behind it, yeah, I know that's going to be good, but the portrayal of the story is what I'm worried about right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope that they did that right. Mm. Anyway, moving on. So at Comic-Con, we had the reveal of the Halo 4 Special Edition console. I've already pre-ordered mine. Because it looks cool. And it has the blue highlights on the controller and the power buttons and everything. And I have the Halo Reach console, and I have the Halo 3 ODST console. So I'm just kind of adding to my collection right now.
Little big spender over here.
But it looks pretty cool. It looks a lot better than the Reach one.
Yeah.
A lot more detail is put into it. It has the nice blue and white accents.
Everything look better than the Reach motif.
I mean, the Reach one's okay.
Which was like, but no, but I mean like, just the entire theme, like the color scheme, like
it's the Forerunner gray and Forge.
No, I mean, I don't know, like, no, but I mean the military motif. Okay, like for example, like when someone's playing Halo Reach on Xbox, the little like picture for the game is like the noble symbol,
right?
But it's like some like gray bird thing. I'm like, what, you know, what is that? Like, how would anyone even know that was Halo if they didn't know Reach? You know, what was that about? It's just
It's just an icon that they established with it. And yeah, mine's not the gray icon. Mine, I'm looking at it right now. It's the panorama of Noble Team. That's the icon that pops up for me.
What do you mean?
Oh, you're talking about like the never mind. You're talking about like the achievement one.
Yeah.
Like the small gamer pick. Oh, yeah.
I just meant that, like that thing.
That's true. But they do the color
Halo
of the
Halo 4. I guarantee it'll just be like a blue 4, which will feel a lot more like Halo.
Yeah. The thing about the Reach console and the controllers and the color scheme of that is it's very military-like.
That's the point, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the point they were going for, too, which, I mean, it's okay, but
yeah,
in terms of how it looks compared to some of the other designs that we've seen, like the Gears of War 3 Xbox, the Star Wars Xbox, the Reach one is kind of downplayed.
Mm.
And the Halo 4 one looks so good. And the blue accent lighting, I think that's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah. On a side note, like, how about Reach? I don't know, I'm constantly debating in my head, like, did Bungie just, like, not mess up, but, I mean, did Bungie just not hit the highest mark possible, or did they, like, intentionally, I saw someone on the forum one time, they were like, Bungie wrecked the hotel room on the way out. I don't know if like they're intentionally like if they were being malicious or if they were, you know.
No, they weren't.
I think a lot of them were really just done, absolutely done with Halo, done making Halo, and because of that, they just got kind of like lazy and like complacent at the end.
Towards the end,
and then they, I mean, you know, Reach isn't a flop or anything. I mean, I don't know if they, you know, messed up necessarily. Like, not that far I would go, but you know, they just got like a little lazy toward the end, like with the map thing mainly, in my opinion. But anyway,
I think there was some amnesty there with Bungie and Microsoft.
What, with the fans?
No, not necessarily.
That Bungie just got so sick of their whiny fan base. Of us all like bitching about stuff for like years and years, and then that's why they put in stuff like Armor Lock to just like, you know, basically give us the finger.
No, I don't. From everything I've heard, it wasn't the fans that they were upset with. It was the fact that Microsoft had control over the franchise, and Microsoft made them put out that many Halo games when they wanted to do something else or they wanted to do their own thing with Halo, and they couldn't necessarily do it that way. So, from what I've heard, there was some amnesty. There was nothing ever public about it, but
I want something like public though. I really want Bungie like now they could, or maybe in a year, just come out. You know, like a couple of them to come out and be like, you know, this is what happened. Like, here's how we felt. Like, this is, you know, I don't know.
It's in neither company's interest to do that though.
Or like their final. It doesn't even have to be like a public statement. Just something, just kind of like, you know, low key. I don't know.
Well, everyone knows it's there.
Even a forum post. I don't know. Or they could, Bungie's, like, final thoughts on Reach. Like, oh, I mean, that armor lock, how you guys like that? Like, I mean, I don't know, like, how do they feel about the game they put out? I'm just curious.
Well, it's the game they put out, and look how many people bought it, and look how many people played it.
Yeah.
So over the time it's been out, it's had more gameplay than Halo 3 and Halo 2 combined. Or, well, not necessarily. Maybe not as Halo 2, but definitely more than Halo 3. And that's just a matter of it was their last game, and they put in what they wanted to put in, and they tried some stuff, and granted, some of their decisions might not have been the best, like Armor Lock. But nonetheless, I still feel it's the game that they were happy with, and it was the game they wanted, so they still put it out. And I mean, there's people still playing it.
Was it the game they wanted? I mean, is there not that many maps because they didn't have time, or because they got lazy and they just, you know, they're like, we have Forge World. They can just use that to make their own maps.
Well, we don't exactly know, and we might not.
That's what I want to know, right? I mean, what was the thinking there? What was their mindset like?
Yeah, but they don't have to tell us, and I don't think they're going to either.
I don't know.
I mean, everyone you talk to is going to say, "Yeah, Halo Reach was good." I don't think you're going to get any kind of official statement saying.
I know, but
off the air behind closed doors, you're not even going to get anything. At this point, you take what Reach is and you deal with it and with its inequalities like Armor Lock and some of the other things.
Like,
and I just look forward to Halo 4 because Halo 4 looks sweet, people.
Well, no, I just play Reach a lot. It's a game I play the most in the past 2 years. And, I think about it a lot, and I'm like, I can't imagine that this is what Bungie truly aspired to. Like, there must have been, like I said, some of them must have really been done with Halo. There must have been some reservations. Yeah, they put it out anyway just to please Microsoft. There's another side to it, basically.
Well, there's a notion in when you're making or when you're doing any kind of project, it's like you can work it all to perfection as much as you want, but you'll never get there because things are always changing. So at some point you have to say, okay, this is what we're going with and we're not doing anymore.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think they got anywhere close to perfection. I mean, Armor Lock is stupid or whatever, but I think the main issue is just like lack of original maps. And then like basing the maps off the campaign, that was like ultra lazy. I just think they got lazy there is all. And that might be the case. Yeah, I mean, that's very far from perfection, in my opinion. But I don't know.
Mass Effect does that kind of stuff. Their multiplayer maps is based off of the campaign.
Right.
I mean, Bungie's not the only one to do that. And maybe it was just something that this was their last game and they were willing to experiment more on stuff because they weren't worried about making a successful game because they knew that they weren't doing Halo anymore.
That's kind of the point, right? We won't necessarily know
if that's the case.
No, but they were like, it's like a president who's like towards the end of his like second term, like it's like a lame duck period. Right, like, I'm going to be gone soon. Like, who cares?
I'm
not going to face the repercussions of this, you know.
I mean, they still have to put out a quality title, but they might not care as much.
I think you're getting there. I think that's kind of where it was headed.
Yeah, but, I mean, we won't hear anything official, but that's just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's all just speculation, right? What happened to Amelia Earhart? You know, it's right up there with, you know, what was Bungie's true mindset? You know, in their final days of Halo making, you know, the world will never know.
Right. Well, let's get back on Halo.
One more thing about Reach that I just remembered. So Halo 3, like, there was 3 years of that lifespan.
Right.
Then Reach came out, but Reach, this September, Reach will have reached. it'll have reached a 2 year lifespan, and then 2 months, and then Halo 4 comes out. So at the end of the day, it's like Reach's multiplayer lifespan will have been 2 years and 2 months, versus Halo 3's 3-year lifespan, which I think is good, because like Halo Reach, it's a good game, of course, but personally, I don't know if I would want another year of playing this game, like, as my main multiplayer thing, versus Halo 3, which, like, 3 years was, I mean, it was awesome. You know,
well,
what I mean?
There's aspects from both games that you can take into Halo 4, and that's what they're doing, is they're taking the best aspects of Halo 3, so they're integrating the networking code that, or not necessarily directly integrating, but they're going back to the idea between the Halo 3 networking code, they're bringing back the BR,
yeah,
and changing some kind of like in-game physics. I think that's being more geared towards how Halo 3 was. And then they're bringing stuff from Halo Reach, like the armor abilities and
that kind of stuff. I simply think that Halo 3 was just more fun. And so its lifespan, like, lived on longer, and that was fine for it to be, like, up to 3 years. I mean, you know, I mean, if Halo Reach had, like, went up to 3 years, I mean, I think, I don't know, I would probably just hit Inheritor and then just, like, stop unless someone, like, wanted me to play with them. You know, I just don't think,
I'd keep playing.
On your own initiative or with people?
I mean, I mostly play with people now.
That's the point. Like, I would just hit Inheritor, and then I would only play with people when they wanted to, but I probably wouldn't that much on my own initiative, just by myself, versus Halo 3, which I played by myself, like, with gusto up until Reach came out. I just don't think Reach is as fun as Halo 3, and therefore its lifespan just isn't as long as far as, like, lasting value with the players.
But you're still playing with a friend.
I know, I'm just saying, like, Halo 3... And I don't know, even with friends, I mean, I don't know, I mean, could anyone take another year of Reach? Like, let's say, God forbid, if Halo 4 was pushed back to fall 2013, could anyone take another year of Reach?
Yeah.
That's it, I mean...
I could.
I don't know, well, but see, you don't play as much as me. What is your rank?
Legend?
Exactly, I'm a Reclaimer. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting exhausted faster.
Maybe.
I don't know, isn't Reach as, like, multiplayer, like the matchmaking, like, player base, like the daily numbers, smaller than Halo 3's were when it was, like, about 2 years old?
I think so.
Less people playing. I know, I just don't think this game could last for, like, another year and still have, like, tons and tons of people on. Like, yeah, it's Halo, but it's not as good as Halo 3 was. I think people are just getting exhausted with it faster than they did with Halo 3, which is unfortunate. But
well, there's a lot more multiplayer games out there which are really good. Where back with Halo 3, there wasn't too many.
Well, that was like the dawn of COD. You know, that was like COD's like heyday.
So when Halo 3 was out, Halo 3 was one of the bigger titles, but when Halo Reach came out, there was all these other games out there that were also really good. You had Mass Effect, you had Call of Duty, you had some RTS games that I don't play, like, I am blanking, Grand Theft Auto and all that stuff. So
I love that game.
It's just kind of a matter of how the game, or when the game came out, and kind of how the gaming industry is at that point in time. But yeah, Reach does have significantly less numbers now than when Halo 3 did at a similar time. But I'd still play it. I mean, it's Halo, and yeah, I'm a Halo fanboy, so I'll be playing Halo till the game dies out.
Yeah, I just mean, you know, on your own initiative. Maybe it's because I've actually been picking up games from like years ago and playing them finally, whereas like in the past like years of my life in 2007, I've been mostly Halo as far as, like, what games I've been playing.
Right.
Lately, I've been playing, like, Bioshock 2, which is better than the first one, some Borderlands, finally, Red Faction Guerrilla, which is awesome.
That's good. I'll have to get on Borderlands with you, because I haven't played it that much cooperatively, and I have a lot of achievements that I don't have.
I was
playing
with Carlos the other day. It was pretty fun.
I was playing with Fumo for a while he had gold, but then that ran out, of course.
Yeah.
So there's
the co-op, it's like you got to be like on the same quest. And
yeah. And being different levels kind of sucks sometimes as well.
Yeah. They're probably going to fix that kind of thing for Borderlands 2.
We'll see.
Which comes out in September, coming up.
Yeah. I'm not buying it day one.
Well, I probably will. I'll go to midnight launch if there is one.
More power to you.
I like midnight launches. They're fun. I mean, you think, you know, you think Halo 4 is a long time away. You know, I mean, you think November 6th is a long time away. I mean, it's tomorrow. Like, it's right around the corner. I mean, they've been saying for years now, oh, it's so far away, it's so far away. I mean, anything can happen. There's so much time. No, I mean, November 6th is like, it's tomorrow. Like, it's right around the corner.
Not quite. It's close.
You think it's a while away. It's tomorrow, you know?
It's not quite. Tomorrow would be like, it's October. Right now, it feels more like it's a week away kind of thing. It's not tomorrow, not by a long shot.
I don't know. You know, I mean, everyone's like, oh, there's so much time, there's so much time. Oh, it's so far away. I mean, who are you kidding? I mean, this thing is happening.
Like, it's not that far. Yeah, you're right.
This thing is around.
It's not that close either.
This thing is around the corner. I mean, who are you kidding?
It's down a couple blocks and around the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, the game's not even finished yet. Once the game's finished, then it's basically around the corner.
Yeah.
So. But back on the Halo 4, there was a panel about some of the Halo Fiction stuff as well. I haven't watched either of the Comic-Con panels that they had. There was one for the Fiction, and then there was one regarding the multiplayer and the campaign stuff. So on the show after our 300th show, we will go into that in more detail. We'll try to get the, like I said before, the guys that did the behind the scenes for Forward Into Dawn. We'll try to get them on the show afterwards as well. And anything else that comes out in between now and then, we, depending on how big it is, we'll do another little show like this. So we'll do a part three, but I don't see anything else big coming out in the meantime. So RTX was big. The Forward Into Dawn stuff was big, and Comic-Con wasn't as big, but we did get to see some cool stuff from it. So, there's a lot of multiplayer videos. So, if you guys watch people like Naked Eli, Green Skull, Bravo, and some of the other more popular Halo YouTube channels that do a lot of the gameplay, there are some good multiplayer gameplays out there. And most of them are like the shaky cam, but they're HD, and most of them are clear enough to where you can get a good sense of what's going on. And you can get a really good idea of how the gameplay flows, what weapons there are. There's some screenshots regarding the loadouts, the icons that you can have for your Spartan. There's information about the tactical packages, the support packages that you can have on your loadout. So all that information has kind of been trickling out ever since E3, ever since people have gotten their hands on the build. And there's also stuff changing around as well. So for you guys that saw the Promethean Vision at E3, it's been nerfed a lot. So the recharge takes a lot longer to recharge for the Promethean Vision. And I think it goes out quicker too. So it doesn't get abused as much. The icons for the medals, they've confirmed that those are merely placeholders, and new ones have already been established and are going to be pushed in the final build. The sound issues that we had for most of the gameplay too have been swapped out. It was confirmed as kind of a bug, and they've fixed that apparently in some of the later builds. And they've taken a lot of feedback from people that have played these builds, and it's nice to see that even this late in development, 343 is still looking to the community, especially for multiplayer, because that's what everyone plays.
Yeah.
And they're taking that feedback and they're making changes. So even though there's not a beta, I think they're actually doing okay, because they're getting people, and there's quite a few MLG people out there, and I know everyone's not big fans of MLG, but there's a lot of other community people out there who are just really excited to see multiplayer succeed for the community as a whole and not necessarily specifically for MLG. And they're talking closely with the people at 343 that are at these events and giving them tips, and it's nice to see 343 coming back and actually doing something about it.
Yeah.
So the multiplayer is going to be our multiplayer for the most part, if what how they're going about making these changes is going in the right direction.
Right. So if they, you know, come out and announce that Master Chief will now have hair instead of being bald, you know, and then we give a big backlash about it, it can be changed.
I mean, you can't really see that because he has a helmet on.
You know
on.
What I mean.
But
they come out and say that Cortana is going to be
green,
know, turn,
instead of
turn into an anorexic ugly person. I don't know.
That'd be weird.
I know, right? Well, it's to more so connect with today's young girls and culture, right?
maybe. Actually, I didn't see this until now, but Waypoint also announced the final book in the Forerunner saga by Greg Barrett's Silentium. So I am halfway through First Strike right now. So in about a week or two, I'll be done with that book, and I'll be moving on to Ghost of Onyx in my mission to read all the books before Halo 4 comes out. So,
yeah, I still need to read Evolutions, Cryptum, Primordium, and Glasslands.
I have all the new books to read, like the Forerunner saga and the other trilogy that's out right now.
Yeah.
I have Ghost of Onyx to read. I have Evolutions to read. I have Contact Harvest. I have Cold Protocol. And then whatever other book there is. I think there might be one more I'm forgetting. But all those books, I'm basically going through. Right now, I'm doing it in chronological release, so I'm doing the first three books that got released, and then I'm going to do Ghost of Onyx, and then I'm going to kind of jump around a bit. I'm going to do Contact Harvest, then Cold Protocol, then Evolutions, and then the new books that are out.
Mm.
So, good stuff.
Yeah, lately I've been reading, I haven't read any Halo books, lately I've been reading Trickle Down Tyranny by Michael Savage.
All right.
What have you been reading lately, Dusty?
I've been reading Halo books.
Oh, okay.
I just got done saying that, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, I thought you said you still had to.
I'm reading through them right now, and I still have the rest of them to read. So I mean, the only books I've read are the first three books, and I've started The Ghost of Onyx like two or three times before, but I've never finished. So I'm basically kind of bashing through them all as quickly as I can right now. So, I just finished Mass Effect 2, which took up so much time. So one of my friends convinced me to play Mass Effect from the beginning, from 1 all the way through 3, and I just finished this weekend, so I'm done with that, and I have time to focus on Podtackler now and reading all that stuff, so.
Yeah.
The beta forums are going to get some work, some heavy lifting done over the next 2 weeks. So, mostly this week, and then the week leading up to episode 300, which I'll get to in a minute, we'll be a little bit quieter, and then after that, I'll be putting the gas down and putting the pedal to the metal on getting those done.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, you better, yeah, spring break's almost over.
Yeah.
It's been a couple days since the last episode. Spring break is.
Yeah, it's.
I know, I mean, you think And the end of spring break is basically...
It's like 3 weeks away.
No, well, the end of spring break is... The end of the Podtacular spring break for Dusty to finish the forums and, you know, is basically November 6th.
Well, right? I want to get them out by PAX.
Right. Well, that's the point. I mean, you think November 6th is, like, years away. No, it's tomorrow. It's right around the corner. who are you kidding?
Yeah, you keep on saying that. Stop reminding me.
Yeah.
So, I think that... Yeah, that wraps up all the things we wanted to discuss, and we'll go into more details about the stuff that we talked about tonight in shows after 300. But on that topic, I officially made the announcement today on Podtacular about episode 300 being live. We are doing it on July 28th, which is exactly the 7th anniversary of Podtacular. The first episode premiered July 28th, 2005 by Fumo. So we are doing our 300th episode on that day, and we're doing it at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. on Ustream. And you can go find the details right now on our homepage, podtacular.com.
Hey, what day is that?
It is July 28th, which is a Saturday. 28th.
Okay.
It's a Saturday.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. So mark your calendars. Come join us. We will likely be giving away some avatar codes, and you'll have a chance to interact with us. We'll take some questions, and we'll answer it on the show. And we're hoping to get some of the original staff back on, so people like Fumo, JVB, Brink Gamer, Dialpex, Captain Crunk, Chucky J. Hopefully those people we can get on the show for that. And we'll go live. We'll go maybe 2 hours or so, or however long it takes for us to finally kind of just kind of die out and stop recording.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you mark your calendars. This is a very big event for us, and we would love to have you guys there and kind of support us along the way. Yeah. So make sure you attend. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you attend our Monday night matchmaking. This last one, we actually got Halo Unity involved, which was huge. We had a full party for about 3 hours. Yeah. And so if we get more than 16, we might start splitting up. It depends on how much of a crowd we can keep for this. But
yeah, shout out to Miss Typo. She's some Halo Unity person who sent me a friend request. She was pretty nice.
Yeah. Everyone that came was nice. So
yeah,
shout outs to Halo Unity. If you guys don't know what that is yet, make sure you go check it out. It's halounity.com, and it's just a good place for people to come together from a lot of different communities and see what's going on around the Halo community as a greater whole. And this is actually something I've been kind of thinking of about for about a year and a half, 2 years now, is having a site that's dedicated to having communities share content with each other. So think of this as kind of like the community edition of HBO. So HBO you go to get all your news, and Halo Unity, at least how I see it, is the place where you get all of your community news, see what everyone's doing. And right now there's 39 communities represented, and there's almost 2,000 members, I think. Actually 1,500. My numbers are a little big, but yeah, there's 1,500 members, and it's growing pretty quickly. So the guys responsible for that are Firestream and Redemption. They are the guys behind Halo Charts and Halo Challenges. So if you're familiar with those websites, you are familiar with their work. And this website is very, very cool. So recommend you go check that out. You can also get achievements, and you can get awards for attending the Monday Night Matchmaking. So that's another reason to go over there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Unless we have a show between now and 300, the next time we'll hear you is on our live show. So
mark your calendars. Yeah, mark your calendars. And you think November 6th is far away. Who are you kidding? It's like right around the corner.
Okay, now that's just old. You've beaten that with the dead horse.
Okay.
All right.
Time, you know, you should go bury that horse. Although I think in Red Dead Redemption, I said that weird. In Red Dead Redemption, can you go? I think you can like skin horses for horse meat or something. But I'm like, who would want to eat horse meat?
I mean, I don't know. It's really tough.
I guess they don't anymore. Cause it sucks apparently. But I mean, back in John Marston's day, I mean, you know, whatever you could get your hands on, you know, for dinner.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And until our live show, keep on fragging those trucks.